Welcome to Money Reverse with Carolyn M. Williams, Christian Biblical Principles for Our Personal Handling of Money and Possessions.
Turn on any TV news or radio station, visit any news website, or look at what's trending on Twitter, and you'll be greeted with conversations about the fiscal cliff. There are talks, interviews, speculation, and even arguments over the pending fiscal cliff issue. I'm finding that even though it's hard to get away from information on this topic, a lot of the information assumes that we're all economists or that we've been following the many detailed topics that make up this issue. Now, I'm not an economist, but I do have a keen interest in this and many other topics that surround our national and world economic activities. I follow the reports, the transcripts, interviews, and other news items, and I've spent time this year digging into this topic. So in this post and the five additional ones that will follow, I'll share with you in layman's terms a high-level overview of what is called the United States fiscal cliff. What is the fiscal cliff? The term fiscal cliff is reported to have been introduced by our Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, in his February 2012 testimony to Congress. In reviewing the transcript from that February testimony, I was not able to find the term fiscal cliff there. Now, that's not unusual if the term came as a response to a question from the audience after his prepared statement had already been delivered. I did find Chairman Bernanke's documented reference to this term in the June 7, 2012 congressional testimony. What this term refers to is a financial tightening that's approaching us here in the United States, and that's based on laws that we currently have in place. In a simple sentence, we have laws that are currently in place that will take effect in January 2013, and when they do, we will see changes in our current financial practices that will affect many Americans. Several of these changes won't be favorable ones for us, as we'll pay more federal income taxes, we'll see reductions in the federal funds that are available for various social programs, and we'll have less take-home pay as our payroll taxes increase. The interesting thing here is that no vote is needed for this financial tightening to begin. Again, all of these items are already signed into law for 2013. Many of these laws were temporary financial relief measures that were put in place to help us during the tough times for our U.S. economy. Several of these temporary measures are set to expire on 12/31/2012 or in January 2013. The talks and debates that we're hearing everywhere are all focused on measures that could or should be taken to extend these relief policies instead of moving forward and going over the cliff with the economic plans that were signed into law in earlier years. What are the specific items that could affect our personal budgets in January 2013 if no relief extension measures are taken? Wow, that is the question. It's a simple and it's a valid question, but it has such a complicated set of answers. To make this more clear, I've grouped the answer to this question in the following five broad categories. Category number one, expiration of the Bush tax cuts on 12/31/2012. This will end 12 years of increased deductions and reduced income tax rates for individuals and businesses within the United States. These tax cuts were implemented in 2001 and 2003. Category number two, end of the Tax Relief Act of 2010. These were additional tax relief efforts that were implemented by the Obama administration. And in this package, it included the extension of the 10-year Bush tax cuts of 2001 and 2003. That's how those 10-year tax cuts got to be in place for 12 years. Category number three, the expiration of items in the American Recovery and Investment Act of 2009. This was known as the Stimulus or Recovery Act that was implemented during our U.S. recession of 2007 and 2009. The expiration of certain items and the changing of certain measures of this package are scheduled to take place in 2013. Category number four, the introduction of mandatory federal spending cuts as dictated by the Budget Control Act of 2011. These are the federal spending cuts that were agreed upon as a part of the debt ceiling deal in August of 2011. I know we all remember that. That's when we almost had a government shutdown because we couldn't raise the debt ceiling and we were just so far in debt. Now, this measure was written into law to move to reducing our federal debt and as a countermeasure to increasing the debt ceiling and preventing that government shutdown. These spending cuts are referenced as federal budget sequestration. We hear that a lot in the news. And then the fifth category is the introduction of individual taxes and business fees as dictated by the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. In a separate blog post for each of these five fiscal cliff categories, I will share with you a down-to-earth, real-life explanation. In conclusion, I'll share with you my views on these items as I reference biblical principle with scripture. As with this post, the additional five posts will have audio available for your convenience. To reference the audio broadcast, click the words, "Click here to listen," that are below the headphone icon that's at the top of this and all Money Reverse blog post. To post a comment, visit the Money Reverse site using the web address that will be given at the end of this broadcast. I'm looking forward to your comments on this topic. Let me hear from you.
You have been listening to Money Reverse with Carolyn M. Williams. For more information, please visit our website at www.moneyreverse.net.